Well, God is good. He is so good. I think he's really got a setup this morning. I think it's really interesting what I'm going to be preaching on, just because I step in and I hear what you guys are praying about in the prayer room. I call it the prayer room because this morning it was the prayer room. And then, Nova, I think I read a couple paragraphs. I was like, oh, well, that's interesting, because I'm going to preach on faith this morning. Faith or fear. And what I'm going to be speaking about is, I'm going to begin in Hebrews chapter 11, the first verse, a verse we all very well know. You may have memorized one of these verses that you have memorized. Once you come to the realization of how important faith is to the Christian life, that really you can't live the Christian life without it. It's actually kind of like a requirement. You know, you have to have faith. To really walk with God, it's a requirement to have faith. So we should know something about it and how to live in it, because it's for us. It's for all of us. So let me just open up with Hebrews 11:1. I want to see where God wants to take it this morning, because I really do believe he has a message for us that maybe is by no coincidence that I'm preaching on this morning. I think it's very interesting. But Hebrews 11:1. Says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see, or some do not yet see. As I said, faith is crucial to the Christian life. This is something that God looks for. It says he goes about all the earth looking for people who have faith, people who will trust in him. He looks for those who will uphold his word, who will honor his name, those who will worship him in spirit and in truth, as we have talked about in weeks past, and for those who will live by faith. Faith, one idea of faith is an abiding trust. One of the songs that we sang this morning is our trust in the Lord. How significant is that? That we are to have an abiding trust that is unshakable. Unshakable in light of present circumstances. Well, we know there's things in this world that will be shaken. There are things in your life that will be shaken. There are things in your life that you thought would last longer than they really did, but they weren't so important to your eternal destiny. And in some ways, that you went through a time of shaking. Every one of us goes through a time of shaking where things need to fall off of our lives that don't need to be there anymore. It's like that shell that we need to, or the crust that we need to break out of and break forward, like the butterfly, so to speak, to spread our wings, because that shell, that cocoon that's on us is actually holding us back, and it's the thing that needs to be broken and shaken off in order for us to take the next steps in our lives. Faith is powerful. Faith is powerful if it's placed in the right source. Of course, our faith is in God. But, you know, people have faith. People who are not in church today, people who are not Christians, they have faith too. They have faith in things. They have faith in people. They have faith sometimes in other gods. They have faith that they're trusting their lives in. But faith is only as good as what you actually put your faith in, right? I can have faith that this chair will hold me as I sit down. Okay, that's good. As long as the chair is not broken, then that's not good. Then my faith will certainly, at that point, realize that not all chairs are the same. And I shouldn't just have blind trust. But I've checked out this God. Have you checked out this God, our God, the God of heaven and earth? I've checked him out, and he's faithful. He's faithful. I can place my trust in him because he's proven himself over and over and over and over and over and over. I mean, how many times does God have to prove himself? He's proven himself so many times. Yet sometimes when we get a little weak or get a little shaky in the knee, we ask God, could you prove yourself over again? Could you just prove yourself once more? And sometimes God will say, yes, I will. I'll continue to prove myself. I'll continue to show my people who I am. I'll continue to show up on earth. I'll show up in your life. I'll show up in ways that are unmistakable that it's me and it's not you. We are to be a people who endure and trust God throughout our lives. through the challenges, through the difficulties, through the things that sometimes we just don't have an answer for. But God says, He has said in Scripture that with Him, we're unstoppable. Have you ever thought about that? I want to look at that through the life of Joshua. I want to look at that idea through the life of Joshua. So yes, I'm going to be speaking about the promised land and the idea of faith and fear. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 1. And I think we can pull that up. I'll read out of the NIV this morning. And we'll go verse by verse. Okay. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to the ancestors, I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You could leave that last one up there. Be strong. Your God will be with you wherever you go. It's a pretty powerful mandate that Joshua has been given to go into the promised land. Joshua is called to replace Moses. We know that story, that Moses was not to see the promised land. And at his passing away, the Lord calls unto Joshua and says, now you were who you were already called to be, and now you will be placed into the position of leader over the people of Israel. And you will lead the people into the promised land. Joshua is told that he will have success. He will be successful. That the territory has been given to them, and that no one can stop them. No one can stop them. They are unstoppable. And as we could look at God, one thing we could say about God is an unstoppable force. Yet there were also things that he was told, things that would be required of him and the people of God. There were requirements. Verse 6, Joshua is told to be strong and courageous. In fact, we see in the scriptures, he's told this three times with an emphatic exclamation, really, to be repeated three times, to be strong and courageous. You see, victory is assured, yet the circumstances could prove to be difficult. Victory was assured in taking the promised land, but victory would not always be guaranteed. Joshua had to be prepared. The people had to be prepared to live in a certain way with their God. He couldn't just walk in to the promised land just going through the motions. The people of God couldn't just meander in just any old way, according to their choosing, according to their dictates of however they thought things should happen and ways things should go. they couldn't just go through the motions and achieve the success that God had planned for them. Sometimes that speaks to routines that we can get in or that people can get in. We know the routines that Israel got into. Israel constantly would have their eyes focused, but then they would meander. As God said, don't go to the right or to the left. Don't meander, but keep with me on the pathway that I've given to you. Bill Johnson talks a little bit about routine. He says, routine without surrender is just religion. But surrender is the element that makes everything we do come alive. So we hear God and we say, Lord, it's important that inside of me I have surrender to you. I surrender to what you want, to what you want to do. And that you say you have requirements. Okay, Lord, I need to know what those are. And Lord, that in my heart I will follow those things. Really, sometimes when we just go through the motion, rituals, so to speak, we can actually get to a place where we're not really believing God for anything. That can happen in the Christian church. It does. It happens all the time, where we really don't believe God necessarily for anything. We can get inactive in our faith to move with God. And we can settle in a very comfortable Christianity. I would say that's true about the church in America. I would say a lot of people are in the settlement of comfortable Christianity, where it seems good to be here, but let's not go anywhere. Let's not do anything. This is comfortable. But what happens when God calls us out to more? He says, there's more. I'm calling you to more. You can't just settle where you are and just become comfortable in where you are. There's more. What do we do when God calls us to climb up the next hill? That there's more ahead. How do we respond when we come to the edge of what we know and the further that God is calling us towards? Because there comes to that place where we reach that place. We all reach that place individually as a church. We reach that place. There's an edge that we come to. And maybe we can say the edge is like this morning, it's like the River Jordan. You come to the edge of the waters. And there's the what's next. There is a place we come to a precipice of our comfort zone. And that could be different for different people. Some people say, this is comfortable for me. I'm good here. Or others can go other further and they say, no, I'm comfortable here. And then others can go even further and they say, I'm comfortable here. And some just can keep going. But we all come to a place where we reach the precipice of our comfort zone. It's at this precipice, Bill Johnson talks about, that we make decisions. It's at this edge where we often make decisions in life. And those decisions are either going to be based in faith or they're going to be based in fear. But they're going to be one or the other, because when we come to that place and we know that there's the more beyond our comfort zone, or there's the what we have experienced and what we know, and we have to choose the Lord calling us to more, then there has to be faith. But if I want to just go back to what I know, then that's a shrinking back. That is a form of fear. It's a fear of the unknown. So I will do what I know. We can look at both sides. At that edge, that precipice, we can look at both sides. We can look at both sides of things, good or bad. And see, one side, we know. Like I said, one side we know, we have our experiences in. We can define and we can see that's where we've come from. That's where we've been, good or bad. Like good or bad, whether it be good experiences, bad experiences, whatever it is. Because sometimes it's interesting how some people will even go back to the bad, because it's what they know. It's like, it's addiction, right? Like we can say that about addiction. Why do people keep going over and doing the same thing over? And they know it, and they know it. It's not like, they're not stupid. They know that it's destructive. They know it's destroying their lives. They know that abusive relationship is no good, and the person's not changing. Why do people go back to situations, to addictions? Why? Because sometimes what they know is more comfortable than the unknown, the new, the stepping out into a place that really requires faith. Our nature can be funny that way. We can settle for what is simply familiar. When we tell God to give us what we know, we really are hindering what God wants to do. On the other side of things is the unknown. At the precipice, we can look into the unknown, just like the people were looking into the promised land, and they could see things. It's new territory. We haven't been there before. And guess what? There's always a risk. There's always a risk. Because when you peer into the promised land, and we're going to talk about that, what it is to peer and to see the giants, to see the opposition, to see people more numerous than us, it means more numerous than the people of God, the Israelites, to peer in, and we can see prosperity, we can see blessings, but we can also see opposition and difficulties and circumstances we don't want to necessarily face, then of course it's easy to shrink back. But the idea is there is risk. There's the unknown. We don't have certainty of everything and how it's going to happen, how it's going to take place. In fact, if you don't like risk, you probably don't like faith, because faith requires a certain element of risk. I mean, we know about this. We know about risk to a certain extent. I mean, if you have money in the stock market, you know about risk, right? You know your 401k right now through the economy, it's not going up, it's going down. It's at risk. There's a risk, right? But of course, the common knowledge is over time, you know, this thing will go back up. There's no guarantee, but it's just in generally of what has happened. There's always risk in life. When you buy your house, it all looks good. It's been inspected. It doesn't mean that the roof won't leak. It doesn't mean that whatever happens that needs to be fixed and it's going to take thousands of dollars, that your septic tank doesn't implode, I don't know, that you need a major replacement and they have to dig up your yard. Okay, we experienced that. But the Lord knows those things, and he knows the challenges that are ahead, right? He knows those challenges. He knows we'll face them. He knows you'll face them in your life, and you have faced them, and you've had victories, and then sometimes you didn't face them, and you didn't do what God was calling you to do, and I've done that too. I've looked at my life, and there's some things, even in my life, I had regrets, because I look back and say, I know you're calling me out more to take a real step of faith at that point in time back in life, and I didn't, and most of it goes back to fear. Fear of this, fear of that, fear of something. And so much of it goes back to fear, but I look back and say, oh, Lord, you had something for me. I never experienced it back then at that point in my life, but I realized, Lord, looking back, you had something for me on this in the stepping out. So what I'm talking to this morning, I'm talking about individually, I am talking about corporately. Because there's things in your life that you know, and you can look back in your past and you say, you missed it. I mean, God forgives you. God has grace. God has mercy. And he loves you. His love didn't change for you. And he has still more for you. He's calling you even today to do things, to take steps. Maybe there's a class that you're supposed to take. Maybe there's a new program you're supposed to start. Maybe there's a ministry that you're supposed to begin and is starting just to take the steps. Starting just to take the steps, to step out and to see the very thing that God's calling you into. God tells us that there's always new steps. If we're going to walk with him and follow him, there's always new steps. And there's new seasons to come. I really believe here at Messiah, we're in a new season. And we don't necessarily know what's to come, like how things come. But God calls us and tells us to follow him, and he tells us that it will take faith. It will take faith. In fact, without faith, we shouldn't even go, and we shouldn't even do. Because that's what he told the first generation of Israelites. The Israelites, remember those Israelites where the spies went in and the 10 came back with a negative report and the 2 came back with the confident report? They saw the same things. They saw the same things, but 10 saw what they could do. What could we do against these giants? What can we do against the numerous people that inhabit this land? Yes, it's prosperous. Yes, it's beautiful. I mean, God has chosen a good plot of land. It's really good. I mean, you know, God's blessings, yeah, they're rich, they're awesome, they're wonderful, but who are we? Who are we to defeat and overtake this land? Who are we? And that was their problem. It was the who are we. And you know, they were right. They were not enough. They couldn't take the land. They didn't have the numbers. They didn't have the strength. But God didn't tell them to look at the who are we. Because the other two, Joshua and Caleb, come back and they say, the land is plentiful. They see the same things. But then they look at it from a different perspective. They see it from a totally different perspective. And they, through a different lens, they saw themselves being victorious. See, the others, the other 10, they saw themselves being defeated. That's how they saw. Like if they could envision it in their mind, they saw them, yeah, if the whole imagination of stepping out into the land and then being defeated and decimated and destroyed, and they're like, we want none of that. Because they saw it through their eyes. But the Caleb and Joshua saw it through the lens of faith. They saw themselves being victorious over their enemies because they trusted the God who was with them. They had a God perspective, totally different. Our perspective is huge. And if we get too focused on ourselves, we won't see through the God perspective of what God can do and will do. Now, here we see Joshua by the Jordan, and God saying, be courageous, be strong. He repeats it over and over again. And it's very important because I look and say, well, why would God speak that 3 times to Joshua? Because Joshua's already proven himself. He already proved himself years ago when he was one of the spies, right? He was the one who showed courage. He was the one who seemed to have strength. He was the one. But it doesn't mean that what he was going to face, the new challenges he was going to face, those challenges were going to be difficult. Those challenges were going to be hard. And so the encouragement was be prepared. Be strong. It's like, we know you are strong, but be strong. We know you're courageous, but be courageous. And repeat it over and over again because it's exactly what he would need. So they crossed over the Jordan. They crossed over the Jordan, fully committed. Joshua's fully committed. And the people committed to him. As he spoke to the people committed back to him. And he says, we will follow you like we follow Moses. But what do they say? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Because they also knew that that's what we need. In this moment, in this time, we have to be strong and courageous to go forward. We have to. Because our eyes are going to see things that may just want us to turn back. You know, when they crossed over, there was no plan. There was a plan to cross over. In fact, the plan was step your feet in the waters. Take the ark, step your feet in the waters. And the waters didn't move until they stepped into the waters. There was a faith aspect of actually stepping into the waters before the waters moved. But when they did step into the waters, when they positioned themselves the way God told them to position themselves, the waters moved and opened up so they could cross over. But they couldn't sit at the edge and just sit there and go, okay, God, well, we're waiting. We're waiting for you to open this up. That wasn't what God said. God said you have to step into the waters. It's not going to move until you step. You're not going to see anything happen until you step. And then when they do pass through and they're on the other side and they're encamping near Jericho and they're encamped out there, there was no plans. I mean, God had plans, but they didn't know the plans. There was no plans. Like, what are the plans? Right? What are we going to do? How are we going to do this thing? God had the plans. They didn't have the plans until God told them what to do. They were camped out there waiting. Sometimes that's it. Sometimes you step into the waters, and sometimes you're waiting to hear the plans. Sometimes you're saying, God, now what? And that's okay, because we can face uncertainty with faith. We can meet uncertainty with faith, knowing that God does have the plans, even when things can seem stacked up against us. There are times in your life where you don't see how a victory is going to be won. You don't see how something's going to work out. You don't see how there's going to be resolution for the problem that you're dealing with. You don't see it. You don't see how you're getting stirred in your heart to do something new that you've never done. You're kind of getting stirred to take on a challenge maybe you've never taken on, or something new. You're not sure how it's going to work out. There's uncertainty there, right? There's uncertainty there. But yet the Lord is still calling to step out. Sometimes we don't know the plans. And sometimes that's the way we work. That's the way our mindset works. It's like, Lord God, give me the plans and I'll do it. Show me the details and I'll work with it. I mean, oftentimes maybe our job sometimes works that way. Sometimes you have jobs, especially the entrepreneur, sometimes you have to just kind of get vision for what's to take place. For what's not there, that's to be there. But faith calls us to see into things that are not. They're not yet. They don't even exist. But they're to be called forward. The commitment that we make is really not so much to the plans that God gives. Okay, yes, we're committing to the Lord. We're committing to the plans that He'll give us. But ultimately, it's the relationship. It comes back to the relationship with God. It always comes back to our relationship with God. Because where we really commit, what we really make our commitment is to Him. Because if we're sitting here thinking, okay, give us the plans, we'll decide if that's good or not, if it works or not, accommodates us or not, right? If we work on this whole thing of the way the world works, like, Lord, just make a 5-year plan, and we'll get it to a committee, we'll get it to public discussion, we'll get an open forum, we'll get lots of comments, we'll see how we can accommodate everybody, we can see how it works with everybody, everybody gives their opinions, and then it's, as long as it's comfortable, as long as it's good, you know, we'll give it back to God and we'll say, okay, God, we got it. But then God says, that's not my plan. Because God wasn't looking to necessarily accommodate our comfort. He wasn't looking to necessarily accommodate our, sometimes what can be a lack of faith. And we've all been there. Joshua's called to have faith. And the thing he needed more than anything was his relationship with God. What does God say? He says, meditate on my word day and night. Meditate upon the law that I've given. I've given to Moses. I've given to the people of God. This is integral. This is important every day that you walk in my precepts, that you walk in my truth. Consume it. Consume my word. Let it shape you. Let it mold you. He reminded himself, I can almost see him daily reminding himself of the promises of God, what he had spoken to Abraham, what he had given to the people of God, reminding himself what God had done already in bringing them out of Egypt, in giving them helping them survive in the desert, where miracles were done. Reminding himself about the God who is going to bring them into the promised land to fulfill the promises that he had given to his people. It was very important for Joshua to stay close with God. You know, if you're going to do anything big for God, it's not you who's going to do it. It's not we who's going to do it. God. They didn't fight the battle and win the battle on their own. They fought the battles that God said fight, and God brought the victory. God won the victory for them. But they stepped into the battlefield. They stepped into that place. And God won the victories for them. And God tells them, you're not going to be the ones who win the victory. I will. But you will be there on the battlefield. And you will fight. And you will have a position that places you in me. That's why, again, he comes back and says, you're to live in such a way. Joshua, leaders, the people of God, you're to live in such a way. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Follow my ways. Stay close to me, and you will be unstoppable. Unstoppable. Our commitment is beyond what God calls us to. Our commitment ultimately is to him. It's to him. We commit to him, and then we listen to him. We draw close to him, and we listen for the next steps, and we know that we want to do those things because he's with us and we're with him. When we take a position with God of obedience, when we take a position with God of faith, we can also step into this unstoppable. It so often works this way. Our commitment to God is by faith, and it is covenant. It's covenant. And it doesn't look and see necessarily what the end results are. How does Abraham walk up Mount Moriah with Isaac? Knowing what God had called him to do, to sacrifice the promise that he was given, it didn't make sense to him. But he was obedient. This was a great maturity that Abraham arrived. He didn't arrive there overnight. I mean, this was years and years in the making that Abraham had this place of faith to walk with God, to do that. To be committed first and foremost to God. Because it didn't make sense according to fulfilling of the promises. Like, God, you're going to fulfill the promise in this way? It didn't make sense. But he was first and foremost committed to God. And let God work it out. So faith was, he could not see with his eyes. He could not see the outcome and how this would work out. But he looked to God, the author and finisher of faith, of our faith. It's more about relationship with God than a doing for God. It's so much about covenant with God and not thinking about a contract with God. And we may know a little bit something about contracts. I just had to work on a contract and get bidding for an upstairs bathroom. Well, I wanted bids that were detailed, that were laid out, that were line by line of what would be included, the bottom line, the time spectrum. I wanted the details before I said yes, before I agreed. I wanted to know about the workers. I wanted to know about their history. I wanted to know, are they reliable? I wanted to see the kind of work they had done. I didn't have much faith, did I? I didn't have much faith. Because I was working on contract. I was working on a contractual basis. And that if they didn't supply what they said or what they would do, then I would have something to fall back on. But we don't work with contracts with God. We're not contractual workers. We're not a contractual church to do the job that God calls us to do. We're people of covenant who first and foremost commit to him. Even when we don't know the very details that he may be calling us to. We walk together with him, and we don't go alone. We don't see it before it's to come to pass, but I do believe God puts a stirring in us. He puts a stirring in us. I mean, they knew it was the promised land. They knew ahead of time from the east, from the west, and the north to the south. But they had no idea how they would accomplish that. But that what they did know is it was going to be with him. It was going to be with God and God leading the way. And that they would have to draw closer to him. And Joshua, he heard this. And we need to hear this today. We draw closer to God. We draw closer to him to see what he wants to fulfill in and through us. You know, I'm glad sometimes we don't like it. We don't like uncertainty. But I'm glad because sometimes it's the very thing that will draw us closer to God. It's the very thing that will build our prayer life up, our time with the Lord and seeking him. But the Lord also wants us to know that we don't just, again, seek him for answers. And personally, this is personally too. Seek him just for the answers. But we seek him. We seek him. Whether we get the answer or not. Or the answer we want or not. We just simply seek him. But it's in the drawing closer that we are enabled to do things that we cannot do on our own. You know, David did not defeat Goliath because he was big and strong. What he carried with him, he carried a slingshot and some stones, some pebbles, some stones to fight. But he carried something so much greater. What he carried into that battle was a covenant with God. A covenant relationship. That's what he carried in. That's what won the victory. That's what settled the issue that day. Was his covenant relationship with God. And that's what will settle the issue for you, for us, for the body of Christ. It is our covenant relationship with God. I guess that banner, that flag does say something about that, the appeal to heaven. Because it's, if you know the dream, it's about the everlasting God and the evergreen represented there, which represents the covenant that Abraham made with God, planting the tamarisk evergreen tree as he made covenant with the Lord. Well, I believe that God has something for each of us individually, that we talked about this. You're not done yet. He has things to fulfill in your lives. And he's probably challenging you to do some things that you're feeling the stirring. And I pray, if not, you are feeling the stirring of the Lord calling you. Go before the Lord. Get before God. That's what Nehemiah did. He had a stirring in him, and he went and he fasted, he prayed, he got before the Lord until it became so entrenched in him that he had to do something. He said, God, I'm doing this. Give me favor. If this is of you, you'll give me favor. Esther fasted and prayed. The people fasted and prayed, right? And she was to go before the king. Her life, it was not necessarily safe to do that, but to go before the king. But it was the favor she had with God that gave her favor with the king. See, these are principles that we grow in, we learn. Say, Lord, we want you first and foremost. But we also desire to step forward into maybe things that are unknown, things that are really different. We know we can't just keep looking back in order to go forward. There's a stepping out into the waters that the Lord is calling us to do. And that's the word today. That's the word today. I believe it's a new season for Messiah. Can't sit up here and say, well, this is going to be how it's going to look in this way and that way and this way. But I think we get stirrings. The Lord's already speaking. The Lord's already saying things to us. He's been speaking about prayer. He's been speaking about worship. He's giving us even prophetic dreams. I'm going to have to share Novo's prophetic dream really recently. I've already shared Cheryl's dreams and the things that, and I think about this worship and prayer. It's like, oh yeah, that draws us closer to God. That draws us closer to God. It's like our position needs to be firm in Him before we move out into the waters. Because you know what? That whole strong and courageous thing, it's important. Where God even says it to someone who's already strong and courageous, because there's going to be challenges. There's going to be circumstances. There's going to be things that say, hey, maybe this wasn't a good idea. Maybe we need to turn back. But it's important to know what God has called us to, how He is to set our feet, and how we're to know Him. The more we draw, I believe, in our relationship with the Lord, the more we draw unto God, the more we'll be able to go forward with Him. So that's my prayer this morning. I hope you join me in prayer this morning as we come and just kind of position ourselves in the Lord this morning. And what are we willing to do?